Merry Christmas, everybody.
South Korean opposition parties have submitted a motion to impeach President Yoon Suk-yeol over his short-lived martial law. Our reporter Andy Hoyle has more.
President Yoon Suk-yeol declared martial law on Tuesday, vowing to eliminate anti-state forces. He said it was needed to protect the country from North Korea's communist forces and to eliminate anti-state elements. A motion to impeach the president has been submitted and could be put to a vote as early as Friday.
The government will renationalise three rail operators next year after it passed a law allowing it to do so. Southwestern Railways will be transferred into public ownership in May, followed by C2C and Greater Anglia. Sir Keir Starmer will attempt to agree a £1 billion climate investment when he meets with the Emir of Qatar. The Prime Minister will host Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani in Downing Street. And Britain's happiest place to live in 2024 has been revealed as Woodbridge in Suffolk. That's according to a report from property website Rightmove. From Radio News Hub, I'm Grace McIntosh.
Unwrap the Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra and save £432 with Photo Assist.
Hold on. Photo Assist?
Yeah, Samsung's Photo Assist for editing everything.
Can I resize our Christmas tree?
And I could move me dog into frame.
You got it. Now every festive shot can look epic. All on the UK's best network for 11 years. No wonder tech lovers choose EE. Offer ends 17th of December.
Savings across contract. Eligibility, credit check and terms apply. Credit by EE Limited. Verify best network at ee.co.uk/...
Coming up, The Business Mix Show.
Yes! I just can't believe it.
This time tomorrow, you could be a millionaire. Get your lotto ticket for tonight's draw. The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18
or over. It burns when I pee.
It's right around the corner.
My sinuses are painful.
It's closer than you think.
His itchy rash is spreading.
It's just down the road.
My sore throat is getting worse.
It's not too far away. Your pharmacist can do a lot, and now they can provide treatment or some prescription medicine, if needed, for 7 common conditions, without you seeing a GP. Just think pharmacy first. Find out more at nhs.uk/thinkpharmacyfirst. Subject to age eligibility, including 1 to 17 years old for earache prescription medicine. Service available at majority of pharmacies.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The Business Mix Show.
Good morning, good afternoon, and a very good evening to you all. Welcome to November and welcome to The Business Mix. My name is Chrissy.
Indeed. Welcome to The Business Mix. I am Rachel, as always. And yeah, welcome to the cold, cold.
Now it's cold. Now you can get the winter coat out.
We're allowed now.
Yes. Now it's officially winter.
Okay, yeah, well... Now it's officially winter, and as always, we are officially The Business Mix, here to bring you the best in all things Black business on Colourful.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Have you been busy? I know you have been.
Have I been busy?
You've been a busy chick, yes.
Am I supposed to have been busy?
You're always busy. Always busy, Rachel.
I don't know what I've done. I haven't done anything. I'm waiting for Christmas. Waiting for December.
Okay. Are you in hibernation then?
Yeah,
hibernation mode, and then come out. That's all good. That's
terminal.
All good. That's all good. So, Rachel, who have we got in the studio today, the virtual studio?
Well, before we even talk about who we've got in the studio, I actually really like this topic that we're talking about, which this week is about, it's going to sound a bit, what's the word I'm looking for? A bit melancholy, but it doesn't which is why we kind of wanted this particular guest to come in to give us the real deal, the realities of things, so, and the upside of it. So we're talking about closing down a business, when you need to exit a business, which, as I said, it sounds a bit melancholy, but it actually doesn't need to be. A lot of people exit businesses becoming billionaires, actually, millionaires.
Yes.
And so we have with us a long time
friend, family member,
family of the show,
auntie, sister, mother,
been MIA for a while, but we're glad to have her back. It is Natalie Freeman from 13 Rhythms. Welcome back. The prodigal daughter returns.
Bless you, my darling.
Thank you so much for having me. How are you both?
We've missed you. We love that radio voice that you have, Natalie. It's like it's never left us. You deserve and you need to be here. That's what we're saying, Natalie.
Thank you so much.
Now, though, we're doing it all virtual.
I know, it's fine. We've got the memories, we've got the videos.
That is
indeed.
So I'm going to do the obligatory kind of, for those who are perhaps a little bit newer to the business mix, who perhaps haven't heard our shows with you previously, can you tell us a little bit about who Natalie Freeman is and what is it that you do?
Certainly. Thank you. So my business is 13 Rhythms and I am a business coach and pricing strategist for product-based businesses. I think maybe in our early days, I wasn't as razor sharp focused on that target audience as I am now. But in the same way that I say to my clients, you know, running a business is a process. You're going to go through a number of different things, ups and downs. And today we're talking about that experience of closing a business, which I've done that myself. So essentially, when I say business coach, I'm talking about working with business owners through a range of different challenges that they might be experiencing across all of the business areas. So target audience, their pricing, their product range, their marketing, really so they can have a profitable business. That's my key thing. And the pricing strategist is because you said in the introduction, Rachel, that you work with Black-owned businesses. And for many of us, we're certainly in a space where we've got the knowledge, we've got the skills, we've got the talent, we've got the abilities. But when it comes to that numbers game, many of us don't have the confidence to actually charge what we're worth or to have prices that are going to give us a profitable business. So you'll notice I use that term all the time. You can be busy in your business, doesn't mean that it's profitable. So I'm very specific about my words. I love language and I love to be as explicit as I possibly can. So I wanted to add that extra element to the business coach part by really being clear that I focus in very heavily on the numbers, on your pricing. Mm. I am a fan of value-based pricing. So if you're somebody that's creating products with your own two hands or curating products from other places and kind of bringing collections together, it means that you're likely to be able to charge a value-based pricing model. And that means you've got opportunities to be profitable. But of course, you have to get your target audience right. You have to get your messaging right so that you can be in front of the right people. So those are the things that I mainly focus on.
Wonderful. So I think you touched a little bit on it as you were speaking, but like, what has changed for you since you last were on? Like, how has 13 Rhythms grown? Where has it gone to? What's been the exciting part of your growth since you were last on the show?
I think the focusing in. So I think previously I was talking to service-based businesses, product-owned businesses, people in a job, people out of a job, people who were made redundant or their post was made redundant, people who were early in their business, people who were long-term in their business. And actually, I'm even exhausted thinking about it. So through working with my own strategist, that was through the COVID times, the vid, as I call it, then I was able to really focus in on actually my sweet spot, my happy place is with the product-owned businesses. But one of the things that is really interesting, which is why I say to people all the time, you have to show up, you have to increase your visibility, you have to talk and share your voice, your face and your perspective, is because even though I'm always talking about products, excuse me, I have to cough, I still get people who are like, hi, they email me, hello, I know you only talk about products, but do you also work with services? Because I'd like to work with you. Mm. Now, what that tells me is that my messaging is working well. And I also know that means that it's likely that lots of people are scrolling past me because they're like, well, she doesn't work with services, she works with products. And that's absolutely fine. I'm talking into the mic. That's absolutely fine. No, I think for lots of businesses, we're very concerned with, let me try and appeal to everybody because everybody can be a customer. And that's not true at all. So being really specific has meant that I've definitely increased my my sales and my client list. I do a lot over on TikTok when I was very convinced that it was a platform for children to do dances. But actually, I get most of my clients over there.
Do you? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And that in itself has been quite illuminating as well for the last year. So just really, and I guess it's that thing of walking one's talk, right? So when I'm speaking to my clients, I'm like, you've got to share your face, your voice and your perspective. Yes. These are all things I need to put on t-shirts, right? T-shirt printers, holla. And also that great marketing repels people as much as it attracts people. So if you're in a situation where you're trying to talk to everybody, the chances are that you're going to be speaking to nobody. And that is a risk. So the fact that people are clearly knowing clearly that I'm out here working with product based, and it's the brave ones who really want to be like, no, no, she's my person, I want to work with her, who are making that outreach. And yeah, we do work together, do some amazing work together, but it certainly is testament to the fact that you don't lose sales when you're specific. You actually increase your opportunities to find your people.
I love that. I would say that probably along with you don't need to do everything in your business, along with you need to have a great support system, corner team, the third, I would say, most consistent kind of messaging that we get from all of our guests is know who your audience are, know who you're talking to, and you do not need to be selling to everybody unless you are selling fresh air, oxygen or water. And even then, I'm sure at that point, by the time that comes, there'll be different grades, they'll be in different packages. Like, you really do need to just hone in on your niche. And as you said, sometimes you've got to be brave. You've got to feel quite brave to do that, because you do feel like you're alienating some people. But it's like Waitrose have their target audience who they speak to. It doesn't mean that if you shop in Iceland, you can't go into Waitrose, because you probably still will do at some point for something or other. But just know, who they're talking to and what are they saying. I would really like to congratulate you, because I think you've done exceedingly well. Like you said, kind of through COVID, through just life basically, but I feel like you've done exceedingly well with carving out your niche, your target audience, and being really confident in speaking to them. As you said, not necessarily intentionally repelling everybody else, but it's just the way that your messaging is, and I think that means you're doing a good job.
It is intentional, by the way. Like, it is on purpose.
Yeah, okay. What I mean is, I'm not like sticking two fingers up to people and saying, get away from me. But what you are saying is, this is who I work with, and that this is who I'm prioritizing. Everybody else, if and when, maybe, but this is my priority. And I guess there's nothing wrong in saying that either.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, obviously, you know us, Rachel, we're half here, serious, very serious, but also with the jokes. Mm-hmm. But I think when I say it's on purpose, it is very on purpose. And interestingly, when I started over on TikTok, I was really deliberate, because I said, okay, I'm just starting a fresh account with, I wasn't connecting it to any other platform. It wasn't like connecting to your friends, because I'm just literally sitting here like, friends and business is an interesting combination, and it doesn't mean that your people that you know who are even running businesses are your target audience. So it was very fresh, it was a very clean slate, and it really showed me lots of things that over there, because it was so distinct, the messaging, nobody was confused. Whereas I guess when I started my Instagram account, that was a little bit more, a bit of everybody.
Of
so I think that it is deliberate. There's three key topics that I talk about: identify your target audience, master your messaging, so how are you communicating with that target audience, and pricing for profit. So those are my three key messages, speaking to product-based businesses, that I repeat over and over again in different, different contexts. But that is what, so when I'm speaking to somebody, I can definitely say that that's what I found has been effective, So is that kind of walking my talk? I probably need to put that on a t-shirt as well.
Another one on your t-shirt. But also what you've shown is that TikTok was probably something was your, in your last thoughts. You weren't planning to do that. And it's brought so much revenue to you, such a large audience to you and your business. So it's about everyone exploring various avenues because and it also, could surprise you.
Yeah, I guess also knowing where your target audience
lives.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of product-based sellers on TikTok. Not that there aren't any on, you know, Instagram or Facebook or anywhere else, but kind of like TikTok became the place to kind of sell your product. So I guess you're actually in the midst of your target audience as well, or a lot of them.
Yeah, and I suppose, I mean, it's a more nuanced conversation, but the purposes of the platforms are slightly different. And I guess the way that one might use them will be slightly different. But certainly, you know, in terms of, I think when we kind of consider where I've developed, it's in that challenging my assumptions. And my assumption was, I'm not going on TikTok. I'm a grown up. I'm a professional. And actually, it's one of the most sort of profitable places for me right now in terms of my business and finding a range of different clients of a range of different backgrounds, a range of different ages, international, you know, so that whole thing with your calendar links, like, no, you've got to do it my time and your time, not just your time. So, you know, all of these things have come about because of that platform. So maybe that's a takeaway, you know, challenge your assumptions and test things because you just never know. So writing things off probably isn't the most effective strategy that we can have in our businesses. And you try, it might work, it may not work. But if you try and test, you know, what you believe, you know, you may come up with some surprises.
Gotcha. Okay, so I would just like to know then, what can we expect from 13 Rhythms for the coming year? We're kind of rounding up 2024. What's 2025 got in store? Anything new that we can lay claim to? Or what would you like to achieve for 2025?
It's a really great question. I think to keep going, you know, like you said, you know, life is lifing for all of us in different ways. And I think there's something in just staying the course that is important. One of the other things that I say or said to a client quite recently was, you know, Christmas comes and everybody gets very hectic about the new year and I should be and I should and I should and I should. This is my way of not answering your question, but we'll get to it. And one of the things that I said to her was, you know, and I think I did a post about this a few years ago, I might have to bring it up again, which is there are many, many new years. Mm. The Gregorian calendar is but one calendar. And the 1st of January is only one new year. It's a Greco-Roman thing, right? So for lots of us, we get very caught up in the new year, new me, new year, new this, new this. I'm like, let me get to April next year. And think through and really think about, okay, at that point, what is it that I want to launch? I do offer a 3-month coaching program at the moment.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm definitely playing with is something which is a lot more intensive, but over a shorter period of time, particularly for those businesses that are generating £10,000 a month upwards, who need a level of input into their businesses and some accountability support, but don't necessarily have that 3 month period of time. So I'm playing with a number of different delivery models, but I think my key thing is really to continue shouting about this message of be profitable. Yes, you're a black owned business. You don't have to be affordable. I'm doing air quotes. You don't have to you don't have to describe yourself as luxury. Just be it and use the right wording to describe your products. You don't have to try to sell to everybody, and profit isn't a dirty word. So those are my key sort of things that I'm going to continue talking about. And then I'm, you know, playing with some ideas in terms of how I'm going to be working with clients in the coming year.
Okay. Well, watch and listen and see what comes for the new year, whether it's the Gregorian one or a 30th. Any which one.
So I do like the, as Rachel said, the topic of this show, it's a wrap. And as Rachel said, I think some people are a bit nervous about closing things down and shutting down a chapter and starting a new one. And I think, was it the when we're at the UK Black Business Show, there was lots of discussion about don't be afraid to start afresh, because sometimes these things happen. And I know you've been quite vocal in, you know, your own experience with closure, and you've worked with a number of businesses to support them in doing this. So, I mean, what are some of the clear signs, Natalie, that something needs to change? You might have to close something and bring that chapter to a close. What are some of the key signs, would you say?
There are some that are internal, some that are external. If internally you are no longer happy doing what you're doing, let it go. Just kiss it goodbye like that. And say, it was great. Yeah, just kiss it goodbye. And say, it was great, I love this, but it's no longer serving me, let it go. If internally you're not in love with your business, it doesn't always mean that you need to end the business, but it might mean that you can work with somebody to review changes and to implement new things in the business. And after you do that, if it still doesn't come back, also let it go. So there's a whole thing around how you personally feel, how much you are personally connected to your business, that if it's not there, that whatever that it factor is, if that goes, then it's time to let go. And you can, it doesn't have to be the first thing that you do. You can work with somebody, take some advice, work with me, do whatever you want. But that's an important thing, which is to take the temperature of your own feelings about your business. Okay. Externally, maybe you're not selling your products. Maybe you're not able to sell your products at a profitable price. It might be because of suppliers. It might be because of your delivery methods. It might be because of Brexit had a massive impact. So governmental shifts or industry changes. It might be, as it was for me in 2008, we had, what do they call it now? That economic crash that we had. So just nobody had money anymore.
Yeah.
And so that was when I made my decision to close my boutique emporium. So there can be external factors as well. And even with that, there's a point at which some people might decide to keep going, keep pushing ahead, be like, no, I'm going to borrow money to save it. That's a choice. But ultimately, it's around, to your question, Chrissy, it's about looking around you, looking at what the different conditions are, the different social, personal, financial, economic factors are, and doing some pros and cons lists and making some choices on the basis of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I ask, what just slight segue, what about kind of being taken, I don't say taken over, but, you know, acquisitions.
Mm-hmm.
What about if someone's like, actually, I would like to buy this company from you, whether it's as a partnership? What are some of the other things, I guess, that you perhaps might need to consider if you want to exit that way? Because I know, you know, we hear all the time about kind of businesses that are taken over, that they've been bought out, and then it's like, oh, it's not authentic anymore, or, you know, especially as a Black-owned business, as a non-Black kind of like holding company that buys your shares out or whatever it is, there's kind of a lot of, oh, it's not Black-owned, oh, it's not authentic, oh, you sold out. You're like, yeah, for millions, that's fine. What are your thoughts on that?
I think an acquisition is different. So, and that's a really good distinction. So thanks for that, Rachel. I think if somebody says they are selling their business, to me, that's different than if you've got to wind it down for a number of different reasons.
Yeah.
So if you're in a situation where you've got ABC product and XYZ company wants to come and buy said business from you, then if it's financially viable for you, if it's something that you're happy to do, if that's your exit strategy, then do it. To your point around the Black-owned and authenticity, etc., think there's these are the things that people don't always consider at the start of their journey. And what I mean by that is, if you market yourself as a Black-owned business, if being Black-owned is part of your marketing messaging, is part of the way that you are presenting yourself to the world, then your audience is going to have certain expectations of you. If you are an incidental Black-owned business owner, that's a slightly different conversation. Yeah. So I guess, yeah, what tends to happen is hair products and food products that are deemed to be Caribbean or African or, you know, for Black people, then becomes something which, if you are intimately tied into that, then you will have to consider the impact of that in terms of your reputation, your reputation management, how people are going to view you, how your PR is going to manage, what people are going to say about you. And also, people are always going to have something to talk about. So there's that.
Of course.
But I do think that these are sometimes, and this kind of like a segue, right? But it's one of the terms that lots of people are very happy to say, handmade products. The challenge is as you get bigger and you're scaling, you may not be able to do things in that same handmade way.
Yeah.
So I say to lots of my clients, be careful sometimes with this terminology, because it's going to lock you into a position that you may not be able to maintain as your business gets bigger.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a cousin to Black-owned business owner doing Black-owned. I'm not saying that people shouldn't do this. So nobody on the radio come for me, right? I'm not saying I'm saying that there then becomes, it may lock you into something, and it might lock you into something in the eyes of your community, however you describe that, that is going to tie you into some knots potentially in the future. And really, you've got to decide, if I'm making, I don't know, ABC product that is a product that is typically used by Black folks, if whatever that could be, food, let's say. Now, you ultimately have to understand that your customers are going to be quite broad. Just by the name, let's say you're a London-based, here we go. Let's say you're London-based making food that you put in the microwave, curry chicken, because we're Guyanese, I say curry chicken. So let's say now you've got that, and now you're deciding, okay, it's a Black-owned product because, you know, I'm Guyanese, Afro-Guyanese. And now you're in a situation where you want to sell the business, and then people are going to be like, but now it's not Black-owned anymore. Now, if you've tied yourself into that as a Black-owned business making Guyanese curry chicken, you've got a problem. If you're a business owner who makes curry chicken, who happens to be Black, it's a slightly different conversation. Mm. So this is just to say that we don't often think about the implications of these things at the beginning, but they can become very relevant near an end.
Yes.
And so it's just, as ever with me, things to consider in terms of your marketing and your messaging and how you're putting yourself out there.
Yeah. We don't tend to think of the end at the beginning, because we're too in love with the beginning, and we're busy doing. To really consider the exit bit at the end. So good tips there. Am I asking the next question? Is it me?
Go ahead.
Okay, so that's some good considerations to decide when you're evaluating, should I, shouldn't I kind of close. But let's say, right, yeah, you've decided, yes, we are going to close within the next 3, 6, 12, whatever it is, months. What, I guess, are some of the legal considerations, the legal obligations that we have, that we should definitely be focused on to avoid any kind of comebacks or future pitfalls down the road?
Key things there is like legal and financial, really. So your legal responsibilities would be, and they're also kind of financial. So you're going to have your insurance in your business. You're going to ensure that any licensing that you need to have are all in place. You're going to ensure that any rules and regulations for shipping, import, export, whatever those things are, you will have those in place as a business owner. So when you're wrapping up your operations, the most that you will need to do is ensure that any of those are only ended at the point at which your business is formally and officially closed and no longer trading, has completely ceased trading. And I suppose I'd wrap that also into the finances. So who do you owe money to? Make sure that you pay your debtors, yeah. Call in any money from your creditors. If that's the right order. I can never remember those two.
A-level accounting.
Thank you very much. Oh, thank goodness. Also, I think it's just about your anything that you've got in terms of a business bank account. What subscriptions do you have? Those are the things actually that often kind of get forgotten because, well, let me talk about me. When there are so many different online tools that I use in my business, that if I was to close, I'd be like, okay, I've got to kind of talk to all of these people because they're going to keep taking money until they take money, because until you do something about it. So it's that sort of having a checklist, knowing exactly the money that's in, the money that's coming out, realistically thinking about what the date is going to be for the final end of operations. And by that I mean you may not be selling products anymore, but you might be still interacting and engaging with various different business processes. The date at which you are officially done is when all of that process is finished, is done, is complete. So it's not just I'm no longer selling products, I've finished. It's actually when you can safely wind up your business so that it still is in good standing, that it still is in a financial good standing, that it isn't owing money. If you are owed money, which would be fantastic, that you call that money in so that you can really have things in a neat and tidy bow. And I think that for lots of businesses, it becomes, well, I'm not doing it anymore, so I don't care about the other things. Mm-hmm. But if you've got anything to do with HMRC or Companies House, they will write to you. They do not forget. This is England and they like writing things down. So don't think that because you're not trading anymore that they will not come and ask you questions. I'm talking from experience. Me and Anita, give her a shout out, my accountant, are having conversations, right? I'm just going to say that. So it's a very administrative process. And even while it's an administrative process, you've got your head, what you're thinking, am I doing the right things? Is this the right decision? You've got your heart, this is my baby, this is my business. So you've got lots of things to contend with at a time which may be quite sensitive, depending on the reason, but also might be celebratory, as you said, Rachel, in terms of what you're going to go off and do next.
Go on, Chris. Excuse my naivety, I guess, is there, like, I'm just thinking, if you're in the mindset where it's not a pleasant place to be, you didn't really want to close it down, but are there people that can support you? You know, we always say about, you know, you don't have to do this yourself and everything, you say it's quite administrative. Is there someone that can help you? Is it your accountant that you talk to? Is it people like you, Natalie, who you speak to support you in that whole process of closing things down?
I'll tell you a story. Can I tell you a story?
Yes, you've got time for a story, dear.
Cheers. So when I was closing Emporium, the world was doing what the world was doing, and I noticed that my customers weren't coming in as they were coming in before, or they were coming in like, oh my God, Natalie, that's gorgeous, but I just can't, just didn't have the money. And over a period of months, the economic downturn, that was it. Over a period of months, I was like, this is not working anymore. And I called a friend, Paul, also another shout out, mentor, friend, colleague, all of that. And I said, oh, do you know what? I think I'm going to need to close the shop. And he said, oh, that's cool. Like, that's the first one under your belt. And what I was so grateful for in that moment was there wasn't any kind of, no, you don't want to close, you should keep going, it's the best thing, oh my God, if you don't close, blah, blah, blah. And so if you are going to speak to people, speak to the right people. There's going to be lots of folks in your life that are going to tell you to stay the course, stay open, you're a failure. It's no, I don't believe in failure, I believe in the lessons. So yes, I think if you've got an accountant, speak to them, they can help with those processes. You might want to have like a virtual assistant that can contact your various different the different suppliers of online tools and things like that that you're using. But get help, but it's got to be the right help. Family and friends are great, they're not always the most effective in situations like that. You want somebody that's practical, pragmatic, and who's going to help you to see what you can do next, rather than trying to talk you into staying doing something that isn't working for you anymore.
And that they probably didn't buy from anyway.
Mm. Yeah, there's that. I mean, I think a lot of people do get very caught up in, you know, my friends don't support me. And as you may know, I don't believe in the concept of support. I think it's nonsensical. Based on what you have as a business owner are a range of products, maybe services, and you need to find the right people that are your target customer. If you're hoping for support from family and friends, one, that might be fine. They might buy your product for the first. They're not going to be buying your product every month. So you can't really rely on that. And two, lots of people get I've had it in my clients. They get extremely upset at the fact that they don't feel that they've got the support that they need. So I'm like, let that go. Keep your friends and your family as your friends and your family. And let's focus on the target audience out there. So that's when that kind of pragmatic thing really kicks in. Mm. So yeah, get help. If you need to, you don't have to do anything by yourself, but just be careful that you're not talked into staying in something that actually isn't beneficial for you.
Yeah,
definitely. Good advice.
Also, I don't know too much about the ins and outs and the legals of it as well, but you can make your company dormant rather than actually X-ing it and closing it off. So as you said, if you're in that kind of headspace where you're like, okay, right now, I don't want to be doing this anymore, but you don't necessarily want to kill it dead. You can. I know there are some kind of, you know, you can't be trading, you can't be receiving like money, etc. But you can. I don't know how long your business could be dormant for. And I know because my mum did this, or she didn't do it, should I say. You still have to send in your tax return. You still have to do that, even if you're not trading. Otherwise, you will still get fined. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's another avenue that you can, that some people
can. I think it's another option. I guess with all of this and with this topic, it's kind of about the ending, but it really is about your decision making.
Mm.
What I found is that once you make a decision, everything else comes after that. So if you decide, I want to stay in my business, I want to keep it, I want to carry on doing it, you've made that decision. Now you put the actions in place to keep it going. If you make a decision to sell, you've decided that, you put in the actions to try and sell. If you make the actions to wind it up, you make that decision, you put in the actions to wind it up. So I think actually it's about that, these things around closing your business, it's kind of the decision-making process that you have undertaken to get to that place. Because what I found personally is once you make a decision, I always feel free. So now I know I'm no longer tossing and turning. I remembered when I had the shop, I was tossing and turning, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And that was me. I couldn't sleep back, worried about money, this, and this. When I made a decision, it was right. Emails out to everybody. Sorry to say, yes, I'm closing the business. It's been an amazing experience. Come along to buy what we have. I'm hosting like an evening party, whatnot, to say thank you. There'll be drinks and nibbles. I sold everything in that shop, including the fixtures and fittings that I purchased and put in there, because it was like, well, it all needs to go. Thinking then, what am I going to do next? Then I was, okay, well, I need to earn money because I have to eat, applying for jobs to think, oh, okay, this is not great, but needs must. So once I had the decision, then I could put a plan of action into place. Mm-hmm. So I think for lots of people, the challenge is not, oh, I'm closing my business. It's because they've been forced to make a decision. So you've got push and pull factors in life, or they're not happy with whatever that decision is. So even if life is lifing and you have an economic downturn or whatever the situation is, and you think, okay, I can't run this business anymore. If you make a decision that you can own, then I feel like everything else starts to feel better.
Yeah,
definitely. Right. So most, I guess this is one of the things we may not always think about. And some people may be lucky enough to have employees, people that are supporting them in their business. And I think when we saw Grassfield kind of go under, there was lots of people on TikTok again that were part of their media campaign and lost their jobs. So employees, what do we do about employees, and how should businesses, entrepreneurs be thinking about how do we tell our employees about the closure? What is there a, what do you call it, advice that you could give people who are thinking of closing, to how they tell their staff members? Have they got there's a word right at the tip of my tongue and I can't remember
processes,
it.
Procedures.
Yeah, what are the processes? Thank you, Rachel. Processes to get that started, that process started.
Mm-hmm. And I think in there as well is, okay, we've got employees, but also because you are obviously queen of messaging, like how do we put things out to our customers, to our supporters, to our suppliers? Like, is it just like a blanket kind of notice? You know, how do we tell them in, you know, the best way possible? We're no longer
Okay. Okay. So if it's about your staff, I think this is where that whole thing around the decision making comes in. As a private limited company, which you might be if you're like registered with Companies House, you can, and it sounds awful, but you could just tell your people, yeah, sorry, I'm closing, see you later. And then that's it. So there's that. But if you want to, again, maintain your reputation and not be a word on the street, what you want to do is to try to give as much time and notice as possible. And so this, again, is when it comes into that whole thing around, when do you make a decision? If you get pushed to a point, then everything's going to be in a kerfuffle. If you are able to plan, you can say, all right, then, do I have 3 months here? Do I have 3 months of money here? Do I have 3 months of being able to pay somebody? Do I put my staff out on gardening leave, where they're getting paid, but there's no work for them, but at least that's my way of kind of saying goodbye. Can I do 3 months? Can it only be a month? What does your financial situation, what will it allow you to do? That's one. Second of all is, and that's about your reputation, because you don't have, sounds awful, you don't have to do that. Remember those big banks that were failing? Goldman Sachs were like, this afternoon you don't have a job, and then people were out, and that's multi-billion pound banks. So you don't have to do that, but that's about managing your personal reputation. The second thing, in terms of how do you communicate with audiences, is if you are closing your business and you tell the world you're closing your business, try your best and close the business. Now, I know that also sounds harsh, but I see far too many times as a tactic, hi guys, it's been really awful.
Closing down. 50%
I'm not able, and I'm going to be closing. And then tomorrow, hi guys, it's been amazing because we had so many such great responses. I'm like, yeah, because you told people you were closing. That is not a marketing strategy. It's not a sales strategy. So what I mean is, if you are closing, like, be genuine. So when you make that communication, it is a genuine thing. If there's any chance, if there's any prevarication, if you're still tossing and turning, if you're not sure, do not go to the public with that message. Don't do it. Because if you do, and then you get an influx of sales, you're going to be bolstered by that. But people bought because they thought you were going to be disappeared. Yeah. And then also, then if you come back, it's like, oh, so that was a scam. All right, that's what I'm saying. Somebody else might say or feel something different. So really, in terms of the comms, do it only when that really is your genuine something that you're doing. And in terms of your question, Chrissy, about the is it one blanket statement? No, different audiences need a different kind of message. So suppliers, that's in your financial realm, in your comms. So what do you owe them money? Do you have, are they on account with you? Is there money potentially that might be coming back to you? Do you need to pay them? You wrap that up neat and tidy. If it's about your subcontractors, maybe people that you work with, you let them know, it's been great, thank you so much, we're done. If it's to your audiences across your socials, you can do those posts, that's fine. You can let them know if there's any promos or whatever. Your email list, you might want to give them something that's a slightly more intimate message because they're on your email list. Maybe over some time you've been building up a relationship. Again, a slightly different message. So yes, it is going to be about the fact that you're closing, but each different kind of stakeholder group is going to have a slightly different message. So I would communicate to say, you guys, if I was closing differently than if I was communicating to my people, say on social media, because we've got a different relationship, you see?
Yeah. You know, it. I can't stand it when I see, I remember I wanted a patty, I'll just say this, wanted a patty. I go down the road and the man gone. He gone. So it's like sometimes I feel like these businesses also have a duty to their customers who are always there supporting them to tell people, yeah, we're thinking of closing. Like I'm in there quite frequently, so there's nothing wrong with you saying, sis, we'll be closing in a few weeks. But for me to turn up and there's nothing there is not good. Do better. That's all I say.
I hear you. But then you see, it depends on their motive. So were they in there legally? Sure. Were they running legally? Was it a food hygiene people thing? Like, we don't know. And I'm not casting aspersions on the business, but I think there's lots of things, you know, the comms and the messaging and the finesse. You know, I've mentioned my half Guyaneseness already for the day. You know, we talk about finesse and panache and having a certain way of doing things. These are quite old fashioned terminologies that really are helpful in business, because it just means that you're going to level up the way that you run your business, the way that you communicate with your people. You're not just going to be there and then disappear, fly by night. People come and the shop is locked up at, you know, 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, but not everybody sadly thinks and feels that way. So sometimes we've got to give them a little bly, Chrissy, and keep doing your radio show so people can learn there's a better way.
There you go.
So time is winding down. So I think we're going to go straight to the, the lessons, because you've given us lots to learn anyway, but closing, valuable lessons that we can learn, not just within the closing process, that we can take to our future endeavors or next business or in places of employment, for example, like you said, you went into work, that might serve us well in the future from your perspective.
I think if you need to close, then just chalk it up as a lesson. Easy to say now, easy to say after the experience. But if you walk around with like, yeah, you know, I had to close my business, that's how I hear it in my mind, I'm not saying that's how people speak, you will never really be able to allow yourself to do something again, because you're putting yourself under a shadow of shame. Instead, walk proudly in the fact that you did it, that you tried it, that you had success, that life is lifing, you know, also on a t-shirt, Chrissy. And ultimately, you are now in a situation where you have a great opportunity to do something different. You may not feel that straight away. You may sit in a corner for a weekend under a duvet eating ice cream out of the tub. Yes, allow yourself all of those feelings. That's if it's a reason that things have quote unquote just not worked out well for you. But also remember that you can pick up yourself, dust yourself down, and take those lessons forward into whatever it is that you do next. So I think the key thing is make a decision, whatever it is.
Make a decision. Once you've made the decision, I always remember the day that I decided I was no longer, I just wanted to leave my first ever job. I went straight from school, got a job, didn't go to college, and I was great. I was loving it, getting money, getting paid. And then one day I just, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I don't want to. And as soon as I'd made that decision in my head, the job wasn't that bad. You know, it was all right. The commute wasn't that long. I'd made the decision and I felt, as you said, you feel free, you feel happy. Yes. You're like, I've no longer got this kind of pressure sitting on me, or what should I do, should I not, should I, I've made a decision now, even though I was still in the job, still doing the same work, but you know, it was definitely more bearable. And I think sometimes as well, you only know if you've chosen the right thing to do. Once you've got to make a decision, and you've got to do it, you've got to try it, and then you see. And like you said, it's not about failure or messed up. No, you've actually learned something really valuable here that you can take into whatever your next walk of life is going to be. So I think we always need to remember, no such thing as failure, only ever learning opportunities, people. Absolutely.
We come to the end of the show. It's always so sad. But before we do go, please, Natalie, tell everybody where they can find you, how they can approach you for some of your sessions, consultancies. Please let us know what your social media handles are also.
So if you want to sell more and sell more effectively, then we should speak. best way to contact me is through the links on my profile on Insta or TikToks at 13 Rhythms. 13 Rhythms, RHYTHMS. Another day, these young women will ask me why my business is called what it's called. If you would like to explore working together, I don't believe in back and forth because who's got time? So you will see the link in my diary that says explore working one-to-one. That will book you some time straight into my diary for a 20-minute call. There's no charge. And we will talk about where you're up to and where you wish to get to. Also, in my link, there's a pricing calculator. So like I said, walking my talk, which is a free download that you can access that will help you to set profitable prices in your business. What else is in there? Oh yeah, and email marketing is really, really important. So I've got some email marketing templates available that you can purchase, then download them, and then you edit them to tell your own story. So really, you can go anywhere from getting a free tool that's going to help you in your business and you have a lifetime access to that, all the way through to having me working alongside you in your business for 3 months or more, where we can really get into the nuts and bolts of what it is that you do and make some amazing, and I said it, is that a guarantee? Yeah, it is. Yeah. And make some amazing changes in your business that are going to work for you and give you the clarity and the focus that you need.
Perfect, Natalie. Perfect. Thank you, as always, for joining us. As we said, we've missed you. You know, your pearls of wisdom will always hit. Good. So thank you. Thank you for having us today.
Thank you. And guys, thank you to you, Chrissy. Thank you to the listeners for joining us once more on another show. Stay tuned because, as ever, we are keeping it colourful. So
we are indeed.
Don't go anywhere.
The Business Mix Show.
Live. Sounds good, sounds nice. Inside. I was really built for this, you know. I was made for this. I feel like it's in my bones. Let me just talk at you. Do you like it? I like it, I know you like it. All day. It's hot. It's hot. It's hot right now. London is bubbling. City on fire. My city, my city. My city. Day not till the end. Tell me when. When was I not? When was I not about this? Oh, come on. The realest life is live and direct is.
Business Mix Show.
It's Jida Fella's music, baby.
Necessary evil. I'm Pablo J. Escola one. So I say, I don't make a.